We are definitely on the road right here at the American Dream Mall, just outside the Legoland Discovery Center. It is the NHL Street, as we are right here in the midst of the Stadium Classic at MetLife Stadium. And joining us is a longtime NHL player, 18 years in the league, Stanley Cup champion, Andrew Ferentz. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's surrounded by a ton of hockey. Outside for a few hours yesterday for the first game, and can't wait for the second one today.
Before we get to talking about your event here at the NHL Street, what does an event like this mean for the National Hockey League when you have this kind of outpouring of support and excitement when you have these kind of games going on across the street?
I mean, it's amazing. I think that the big events for us is it's a big festival, really. I mean, we have fanfares, we got street hockey like this, we got, you know, all the special concerts, and it's just I think a celebration of the sport, people that enjoy the game, and you get out in the elements, and you might be a little bit cold and you might be whatever, but man, what a scene. It's I think something where we all just kind of come together as a community and just really enjoy the soul of the sport, if you want to get deep on it.
When your playing career came to end, you became the director of social impact, growth, fan development, and then later on with the youth. How did that come about?
Yeah, I mean, I played a long time in the league and was really fortunate. Honestly, I was an 8th round draft pick coming out of junior hockey, so I was always ready for my career to be pretty short. So I always had a backup plan, really. I was going to go to school and do all the things, and then the career just kind of kept going. So I was, I guess, one of the lucky ones that could see the horizon, I guess, towards the end of my career, and knew that my time was coming up, and I had always been really involved off the ice with different initiatives, heavily involved with NHL Green and environmental initiatives. So, doing that as a player, I started eyeballing going back to school. So my last 2 years in the league, I was up in Edmonton, playing for the Oilers, and I did extension school through Harvard University, finished my schooling up in corporate sustainability and innovation. I'd obviously parlayed into, a job with the league in that department. Falls our environmental efforts, our development efforts, legislative agenda. So, yeah, I mean, it was a natural fit. I had a lot of contacts, through being a union rep and through, like I said, the environmental work as a player. So I already knew people that worked at the league, and they just became my new colleagues. So it was really quite a, I won't say super easy transition, because it's really different, obviously stopping to play and then getting into this, but I'd already started doing a lot of that as a player, so it made it a lot easier, and understanding the everything that goes into setting the stage for us as players to actually play the game, like having a bit of an insight into that before I jumped into this role was really beneficial, because quite frankly most of the guys that play have no idea the partnership, sales, the ticket sales, setting up all the just the logistics of an event like this, or even just an average regular season game. Like, there's just so much that goes into it. So it's nice to see both sides of the coin now and be able to make an impact and generating fans through stuff like street hockey and different initiatives like that.
About a year ago, you started NHL Street. Just tell us more about the launch of this program and what was really your motivation to get it going.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not reinventing the wheel. I mean, you go around any locker room, and I bet you more often than not, like, everybody's spent more hours playing in the cul-de-sac or in the front driveway and, just messing around with a ball and a stick. I mean, for a number of reasons. It's easy. You don't have all the equipment. Obviously, you don't need all the ice. Trying to find ice sometimes can be challenging or expensive. Ball hockey, whether you played by yourself, just shooting against the garage door and denting up the door and trying to pick your corners, or whether it was with a group of friends, like I said, in the cul-de-sac on the street, like most of us, played a ton of it. And I think, a couple things for us, like I said, we're not necessarily in the business of player development. We're not tasked with, developing the next crop of NHLers. We're tasked with developing fans of the sport, and for us, I mean, linking the experience of playing a sport, making friends, having a good time, listening to good music, having a cool jersey, eating some Dunkin' Donuts after, something like that with your buddies, like, that's a good time. At the end of the day, if you're a kid and you come out here, like, kids behind us are playing street hockey right now, and you have a good time. Like I said, you're going to link that to hockey. You're going to have a much better chance of developing that person into somebody who, you know, has positive feelings about our sport, you know, goes on to become a fan of hockey. And like I said, that's, we don't need kids to strap on skates and, you know, dive into travel teams and spend a ton of money and, you know, have their entire calendar, you know, soaked up. I mean, for me, that was the dream. You know, I love that kind of side of it, but there's a lot of families and a lot of kids that don't want that. You know, they don't want the time commitment. They don't want the financial commitment. And they want a more casual experience, right? And so there's no, if you look behind us, there's no coaches screaming X's and O's. You know, there's no parents losing their minds. You know, it's a good environment, a really positive environment that we've tried to intentionally set for what we want hockey to look like and what we think is the best opportunity, to, like I said, to leave a lasting, really positive impression on families.
So I guess in a lot of ways it kind of takes you back to when you were growing up, you know, playing either outside on the ice or playing, as you said, street hockey. That's really kind of one of the major motivations for yourself and others involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's a chance to have unlimited creativity. I mean, like I said, there's no coach telling you to follow this line or that line or do this drill. Or, you know, you literally just make it up on your own, right? And you try whatever moves you want. You got your own commentary in your head. But really, those are the magic times of hockey when you're just playing a pickup game and having a good time. And I think, you know, times have changed, obviously. Like, you know, where back in the day you might have just, you know, gone down the street and knocked on all the doors and tell your buddies come out and play some street hockey in the street with no parents. You know, times are different. You know, like, parents, I think, do want some organization around sports and some safety, obviously. And so we didn't see a lot of this organically just happening, you know, as much as maybe I did in my youth. And so, you know, doing something at a low cost and really accessible form of our game and making sure that it is safe and well-organized and the people running it, you know, are legit and verified and all that, like, that is important to families. So I think we're kind of, like I said, doing it obviously for our intentions of developing fans, but also we saw, you know, a gap in the market, I guess, of this kind of offering. You know, it was very high-end sports where, you know, that offering is out there, you know, for parents to sign up and dive right in and, like I said, do the travel teams and all that.
Yeah.
But this necessarily wasn't. And if we're not seeing it just kind of organically happen in neighborhoods and cul-de-sacs and whatnot, like, it's I think it's important for us to step in and then do something about it.
So as far as the marketing is concerned, now you've branched out. You have 57 different leagues. You have 42 in the States, 17 in Canada. Really, how did you go about marketing this and making this happen, getting the word out about this kind of this league?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a mixture of things. I mean, the biggest thing we did was partner with RCX. RCX Sports was founded by Izell Reese, former NFL player. And what he started, you know, doing is the same thing. He saw an opportunity in the marketplace for youth sports to just bring down the temperature a bit and offer something that's more fun, something that's, you know, a little bit more approachable and not have the kids feel like it was cheap. You know, have a good jersey, have cool stuff, have a good event, but not make it so that, you know, it's, you know, like it's the type of environment that is more stressful than fun. And so he really started running all the programs for NFL Flag. NFL brought him on and RCX as the operator for NFL Flag football. They set the tone, obviously, with that program and just knocked it out of the park, I think, with the experience of the kids coming to something and feeling really special. And so we partnered with RCX as well, used a lot of the same ideas that they have worked well with NFL Flag, obviously changed some stuff to make it work for us. And they've been an incredible partner. And so marketing it, obviously, to existing hockey fans is one thing, and existing hockey programs that, whether it's Boys and Girls Clubs or YMCAs or some different minor hockey programs. You know, we have operators across the country that, you know, kind of different shapes and sizes. We have Alabama Parks and Recs Department, you know. So we have different people running the program. And then, you know, we're leaning on RCX as well to tap into some of their people that run flag football. Because at the end of the day, like, youth sports, you know, I think a lot of it is, you know, people in the community that have built up trust with the families and with the parents. You know, if you're running football and have built up that trust with those families, they're going to trust you running other sports as well. And a lot of these programs are looking for other sports to run. You know, you don't want to play football 12 months a year. You know, you want to mix it up a bit. So if they can play flag football for 4 months and have a street hockey season for a couple months and then play a little basketball for a couple months. Like, it's incredible. You know, I think it's a good experience as a kid. It's my experience as a kid playing tons of sports. And I think it's going to be we always saw that as a massive, you know, bonus for us, is to a certain degree piggyback into different communities where hockey doesn't have a stronghold. I mean, places like Alabama, you know, different parts of Texas, you know, like, there's tons of football and there's other sports, and hockey's not really on the menu, right?
Yeah.
And so for us, like, to put this version of the game out there, you don't need an ice sheet, you don't need all the equipment, you don't need a family history of generations of hockey, you just need to, you know, basically pick up and go. So
I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that, like, kind of like finding that in between of football and baseball, and you find hockey in the middle. I see some of this, I'm kind of reminded about some of the street pickup games, like pickup basketball people would play. And I think about New York, and I think about this area, and that's kind of like a big thing. Where in this area, the New York tri-state area, are you looking to have locations in league?
Well, I mean, obviously surrounded by so many teams too, right? Like, we have obviously support of all the local professional teams, which is great. So, but I mean, actually the idea, we actually helped, one of the things I first worked on when I came to the league is developing a permanent net structure that could go into different playgrounds and stuff. So we actually developed one with a playground company called Compan. It's a combination street hockey net, basketball hoop, and street soccer net. And so it's actually going in some playgrounds, you know, in different parts of Canada and the States. Some of our teams have installed them. But the idea for it came basically walking around New York City. I mean, our head office is obviously in New York. And so I would come in for weeks of work and then walk back to my hotel and pass all these playgrounds that are just, you know, full of basketball courts and whatnot. And I'm like, man, what, like, it's a shame that there's not, you know, a net to shoot on or something like that, because a lot of these basketball nets had two poles at the bottom, which looked exactly like posts to me. And I just needed a bar across the top and you got a net, right? And so I actually started drawing up, like, you know, what would it look like to have street hockey nets and all these different basketball courts and playgrounds and parks across New York. And, you know, that's where the idea for these combination nets came. But the bigger point being, the access to just free play and the access to just go down and, like, mess around with your buddies and not always have to be perfectly organized, I think is something that you need in sport. You know, it can't always be fully organized and coached and structured. The ability to just go mess around is, I think, the magic of sports. That's where you get the great experiences, and that's where your creativity comes out. And as a kid, like, you don't always want to be told what to do, right? You want to make it up yourself. And so I think for us, like, making sure that there are, you know, opportunities in those playgrounds, those play spaces where, you know, it's easy access and you're not, like I say, you're not worried about hauling a whole bunch of equipment, but, you know, you just can kind of go down and mess around. It's really important to us.
Where in this area, as far as people, fans in this area, what leagues are starting up in this area that they can find to join?
Well, that's for sure an RCX question, because they deal with the operators for sure, but right now, like, that's our biggest push. So, like, the league started this past summer. I think we have 60 operators signed up, like I said, across the States and Canada. Locally, I'm not even sure. That would be a Tom Garavaglia question. But that's our big push right now, is basically to, you know, I think we're very confident with how the program's running and the structure that we have. And now finding the people that are going to sign up as operators, the YMCAs, Boys and Girls Clubs. We have, like, I know in Boston, even some just parents, like local entrepreneurs, basically, that are running a few of the leagues up there. So at the end of the day, really anybody can run a league. They have to go through the process with RCX of obviously, like, the background checks and stuff like that, and getting set up with the structure of how to actually run it. But really, that's our big push now, is to find the people locally that want to run youth sports. You know, whether you're a mom and pop or whether you're a bigger organization, like a Parks and Rec department or something like that. And that's our big push now.
It's probably going to be a Tom question, but does RCS actually delegate or dictate how the league runs? Like, do they have playoffs, championships?
Yeah, so, I mean, the big thing for operators, like for us, was making sure we had ultimate flexibility, right? We're trying to appeal, like I said, to people in, yeah, Alabama, Texas, and also in Toronto or Edmonton, right? So different climates, different setups outside, inside. So we wanted to have, like, ultimate flexibility. So when you run your season, that's an operator. That's up to you. How long the season is, like, we recommend, you know, like, all right, it's 8 to 10, 8 to 12, but we have ones that run for 4. We have runs that run for 16. I mean, so basically ultimate flexibility. You want to run it on a basketball court? Great. You want to run it on a tennis court? Great. parking lot, great. Yeah, really giving operators the flexibility to essentially like run their own business. The where we come in is the structure is the back end of ordering the jerseys, helping with registration pages, helping, you know, get set up for insurance, like getting the sticks and the balls, like all that kind of like back end ordering and supplying of stuff. So you basically can get up and get running. The marketing of it, you know, RCX comes in and does that, all the templates for social media and like getting the word out locally for kids and families to know that the program exists, you know. So that's the support system from RCX.
I know Franklin is a big sponsor also. That's, I'm sure, where you get a lot of the hockey supplies from, right?
Yeah, Franklin's been the official street hockey supplier like for the NHL for years and years. And so, you know, and we push them too to like come with us and think about it. You can see the rebranding and, you know, the colorful, and they did a really cool work on a lot of their, you know, sticks and all the goalie equipment. Yeah. These barriers, they're going through different versions of testing out these new barriers. Because we pushed them, we said, look, like, yeah, we need it to work and we need stuff to be functional, but we need us to be as accessible as possible. Like, from a price point, like, we need families to not have cost as a barrier, but it has to feel great, you know? So finding that kind of magic ground of, like, good products at a good price point, they've been great for us. Obviously, you can look around and see, like, it's they've stepped up.
Yeah, and Jack, I thank you for mentioning Franklin. I appreciate that, because I was going to ask about partnerships and what they're involved in, and that's one of them, Franklin. I also see you guys, you know, have Jersey Mike's as well, and of course you have Jersey Mike's Arena, and not too far from where our studio is. So just tell me a little more about the expansion and partnerships that you guys have.
Yeah, I mean, the partnership's great. I mean, it's obviously important for us, and we're, you know, things take a budget, right? And especially when you're trying to make a program more accessible. So we've had partners. Obviously, Jersey Mike's down here is our first U.S. partner. You know, you come on and make, like I said, infuse cash into the program to make sure that we can grow it. And I think north of the border, we have Tim Hortons and Hyundai. Same thing, they both come on as partners. And we have these partnerships with people that are community people. They run community sports. They sponsor community sports. They're involved at a local level, which is important to us. They want to get their different franchisees involved. I mean, so like, you know, it's one thing to like slap your company name on a program, but I think our partners so far have all been incredibly interested in like getting really involved and, you know, involving their franchisees too, which to us is really important. It's we're trying to run programs that aren't just happening in NHL cities, they're happening everywhere, and we don't have reach into all those communities, right? Like I said, that trust point of like for families to sign up, they need that trust, but also like that access to the community. It helps to have the partners like that they're already in the community, they're running their business, they're running their small businesses in those communities, and have access in there, you know, through that is a huge bonus.
Last couple questions from me, just about your career. You're a captain in Edmonton, Stanley Cup champion with Boston. Just some of your thoughts about your playing career and also winning a cup.
Yeah, I mean, it was like I said, it was a late draft, so I mean, every day seemed like a bonus. It was great. I mean, it was kind of living out the dream. Even it never got old, you know. Even like the last years of my career, it's, you'd still walk in and just kind of be like, wow, this is pretty awesome. I mean, I got to finish in my hometown where I went and watched games as a kid, and, you know, the Gretzky era and all that through the 80s. I was a kid just outside Edmonton, so yeah, it was pretty storybook, you know. I get to sleep easy at night, you know, having won the cup, and I lost in two finals, so that would have been a, you know, bitter pill to get it so close to tasting it. But yeah, luckily 2011, you know, we had a great team, and we're actually getting back together next month, the Bruins, with, you know, celebrating their 100 years, kind of bring back all the teams, you know, for nights and stuff like that. So get to see all those guys for the first time in a while. Well, yeah, I mean, not to always bring it back to this, but like, it's funny, even playing that many games in that many years, like, you remember little snippets of the actual games, but it is like the friendships and the funny times and the, you know, practical jokes and all that kind of stuff that you really remember. Like, the, you know, we had a trip to Europe, you know, before the year we won the cup. We were in Belfast and Prague, and, you know, we played a couple games in Europe at the beginning of the year, and we just had a great time as a group of guys, you know, just like messing around, scrimmage hockey. You know, we had some exhibition games against local club teams and stuff. And, like, those are the kind of memories, right? Like it's the stuff when you kind of makes you, you know, what's the point of it all? You know, and at the end of the day, like sports, like I said, it's a good memory maker. It's good friendships, and it better leave a good taste in your mouth, I guess. You know, after putting that much time into it, and no different for, you know, kids out here. Like, you don't show up to just win or just, you know, try to be the best. Like, that's part of it. You know, I think there's a lot of character that's built out of that. But, like, yeah, if you're not coming away with a smile, like, what's the point? So I feel lucky. I came away with a smile. It's good.
Andrew, this has been a pleasure. This is a really nice setup you guys have here. I guess my last question is, any final thoughts from you about promoting the event, promoting this event in other places that you want to discuss?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like I said, for street hockey, I want to see it be bigger than ice hockey. And I think it can. Like, as far as participation, I think, you know, we really want to make sure that this is a big, big part of our ecosystem in hockey, and making sure that, you know, you don't need to wear skates and you don't need to be on the ice to be a hockey player and be part of the family. And, you know, at the beginning of the interview, I said, like, a big event like this, it's a gathering of our community, you know, and celebrating all that's great about hockey, and it's fun. You get Gritty running around and the different mascots, and you get people, you know, watching the Jonas Brothers, and it's a party, and, you know, it's just fun. And the bigger that community becomes, and the more people we can kind of invite to the party, like, I just think it's a better party, right? So if street hockey brings more people into hockey and brings more people into our sport, like, that's at the end of the day, like, what we're trying to do is just kind of widen our arms a little bit and make sure that everybody feels like they're having a good time here.
Andrew, thank you so much.